Well, we want to welcome everybody for being here tonight. You can have a seat for a few minutes. If you're wondering where everybody is tonight, this week is district conference. It's up north, so all the pastors are up there, and they welcome you too, even though they couldn't be here. I'll go through a quick promo, and then we'll do a video here. But coming up on April 19th, we're having a marriage workshop. It is 6 weeks long. It's on Monday nights at 8:30. It's a Zoom meeting, so that hopefully, depending on how things go in your home, you can get the kids to bed, or mostly to bed, and take part in this. There's going to be an email to go out in the next couple of days with a registration. You can go ahead and register, respond to that email. There'll be a link you can click on and register if you're wanting to sign up for that. So if you have any questions, go ahead and reach out to me or respond to that email as well. So for now, let's have the Save Our Children video.
I can't think of any better investment that we can make in our lives but to the kingdom of God. And those that have given to the children's ministries in various ways, they have allowed for opportunities to children, such as my wife received when she was able to go to church by bus. She was a bus kid. And also received the Holy Ghost at a church camp. It was a children's camp as well. When she was a teenager, she had an opportunity to also either go out with a church that eventually left the organization, and she was pressured into rejecting what she had believed, and she, as an adolescent, she refused. She stood by the fact that there's only one God, His name is Jesus, because of Sunday school. And later on began to find her calling, and now she is an ordained minister, happens to be my wife. And because of SOC and your giving, we have this opportunity for people to give their hearts to the Lord and find their calling.
If you're worshiping in person today, you can drop off your offering in the box. You can mark it in a little envelope. If you're online, you can send it in using the mail, the post office, if you still use that. There's also, you can send it in with a text message. There's all kinds of giving options here. And just mark Save Our Children. This Sunday is the last offering for Save Our Children. We've been seeing some of these promotions as we go, but this is the last Sunday. Coming up, one last announcement here. Coming up on April 4th is Easter. That is a Sunday. Usually. And this year on Friday, we also have the prayer service and communion. So that's on Friday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. So that's our Good Friday prayer service and communion. And then Easter Sunday is 10 a.m. in the morning with Easter Sunday service. So with that said, if we could all stand, we want to say a prayer request. We want to say a prayer for Carl and Cecily and their family today. I know they were heading into the hospital, so hopefully everything goes smoothly, and I don't know if that means that today's the day or the next day's the day. I don't know. It's a fluid situation. So either way, let's just have pray that God would have His way and that they would have a good, healthy family and baby, and just pray that God would have His way in this service. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercies. Thank you for everything you've done for us in this building, outside of this building, in our homes. God, I pray that you would bless this service, God. Bless every aspect of it. Bless each and every person here, God. Help us to hear and feel and know what you have for our hearts and our minds tonight, God. Anoint Brother Thompson, Lord, as he brings your word tonight, God. Lord, let his words be your words, God, tonight. Let him impact us and let us leave changed. God, we pray for Brother Carl and Sister Cecily and their family and their new baby. God, I pray that you would touch them, that everything would go smoothly, that you would have your hand on them through the whole process and your will would be done. And God, we just give you the glory tonight and ask that your will would be done in everything we do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? I tell you, He has been a friend to me. I'd like to start by, well, first of all, thanking the Lord for being a friend to me. But also I'd like to thank our pastoral staff, who are, most of them, away at district conference. I do want to honor our pastor, our pastoral staff. It's a great place to be a child of God, to be a Christian, is Calvary Gospel Church. A great place to raise a family. Been a great place to raise three beautiful daughters here at Calvary Gospel Church. And so I do want to honor our leadership, those that are here and those that are not here. So I'd like to start tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, a very familiar portion of Scripture to most of us, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." God bless you. You may be seated. Now, Bible study 101. First thing, if you're going to study the Scripture, one of the first things you need to determine is, who is this written to? Where's this coming from? What's the point of view? Otherwise, you end up reading the Roman road to salvation when that's not a road to salvation at all. Those were letters that were written to a church that was already filled with the Holy Ghost. So who was it written to? Why was it written? I like the analogy of how big doors swing on little hinges. And one of the, probably the most profound yet simple lessons I heard is almost flippant. I mean, I remember I was in Germany in the military at the time, just really trying to figure out how to live for God. And someone said, if you see words like therefore or wherefore, find out what it's there for. Because big doors swing on little hinges. So we see this, our text started with the word wherefore. That means it's a hinge, it's a hitch pin that's connecting this phrase to something else. And of course, you Bible scholars know where I'm going with this, because prior to Hebrews chapter 12 is Hebrews chapter 11. The faith chapter, God's hall of fame of faith, or hall of faith, however you want to term it. This is the great cloud of witnesses that the author was talking about. And Hebrews chapter 11 goes through, it just names off some of the great men and women of God. And some of them, like Abraham, got a marquee place and what he did. But yet, it's interesting to me, if you really just look at the names that are listed there, yes, great men and women of God, great faith, but also quite flawed. And maybe that's why God is saying here, the author is saying here, that we need to have patience, that we need to run with patience the race that is set before us, because, well, maybe we need to have patience with ourselves. See, Abraham, the marquee place, Abraham showed up one day and the king said, hey, that's a good-looking woman you got there with you. She have a name? And Abraham, oh, well, yeah, she's my sister. You can have her if you want. I don't really get that, brother. I hate to read scripture like this and just throw people like Abraham under the bus, because I don't want someday when I'm dead people throw me under the bus, let alone when I'm here. But you know what? Great man of God. He also, God gave him a tremendous promise that he was going to make out of him a great nation. That Abraham was going to be a great nation. He's going to father a great nation, and he's 90 years old. Ain't nothing happening. So, you know the story of Ishmael. Abraham decided to force God's hand a little bit. If God's not going to do it, we'll figure something out here. Then there was Rahab. Her name is listed. She wasn't even an Israelite. She was a prostitute, but yet she had great faith. In fact, not only that, God, if you go back to Matthew, God has even put Rahab in Jesus' lineage. What a promise. What a witness. Then there was Samson. Fact of the matter is, we could probably, if we did a list of pros and cons, we could probably have a bigger list of cons on Samson's life than a list of pros. He probably had more issues than he had things going for him, although you would not want to say that to his face. So great men and women of God, but flawed. But they were faithful, God said. What does it mean to be faithful? Well, by definition, it means to be full of faith. So let's take a look at this. What does faith get you? We've heard some great teaching and preaching as of late on, well, first of all, it was on resetting our dreams. Well, it was just resetting our life before that. But as of late, it was resetting our dreams. Sunday morning, it was more on defending our dreams. Am I the only one who was blessed by that? Brother Jake was messaged Sunday morning. But the men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, God, they had some dreams. They had some visions. They had some purpose. They had some promises that God had given them. And they had to fight for them. And that's what I'm talking about this evening, is chasing after our dreams. In fact, let's just go there. Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe start with faith, because this seems to be the starting point if we're going to see our dreams realized. Then we've got to back up. If we're going to run this race, if we are going to consider the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, if we're going to run with patience, then it's probably wise to know what we're up against. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 starts out like this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Sounds like some promises, doesn't it? Somebody had some dreams. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They, you know what? Let's just stop here for a second. Let's start out here with the young people, and I want you to help me out. Okay, so first off here, and I just want you to kind of stand up when I call it off, and because we're going to do a little comparison here on what faith will get you. This is what faith accomplishes, all right? Who through faith subdued kingdoms. who through faith wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Who got that one? Yeah. We got a warrior in the house. Turned to flight the armies of aliens. Okay, we're getting to some of the older young people. Who we got? Luke? I teach school, and it's one of the most frustrating things is now I go an entire school year and never see my student's face. You know how hard that is? To not sound like a robot? Like, hey, you? So it's a little bit the same thing here tonight. At least I kind of remember your faces a little bit from days gone by. Okay, where were we? We had a warrior. Escaped the edge of the sword, waxed valiant fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now let's start over here. Larry? And others were tortured. Sorry, brother. Not accepting deliverance, and they that might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Sorry, sister, we're going to lay them both on you this evening. Mockings and scourgings. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Both of you stand up there. Sarah, you just got locked up. Sorry. They were stoned. Sorry, sweetheart. They were sawn asunder. Brother Repka, I think that's you. Cut in half. They were tempted. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Let's see, tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Where are we at in the back there? Just wandering around. Sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute. Afflicted. Tormented, sister. Now let's compare what we've got here. You see where I'm going with this, right? Sometimes faith creates more pain. See, we have a bad understanding sometimes in America. Here, we tend to think that living for God's coming to church and having a little party, dancing around, going out for dinner afterwards, doing it all again next week. There's a lot of places, not only throughout history, but on earth today, where being a Christian gets your head cut off, gets you shot, gets you tormented, gets you persecuted, gets you imprisoned. So let's understand a little bit about what faith is and what it's not. You know what we got out of this? First of all, you know, I got out of it. I got saved for myself. Anything above getting saved from my own stupidity, that's just icing on the cake. That's just God's goodness and grace, because he really doesn't owe me anything. All right, y'all can be seated. Thank you for humoring me. See, all these obtained a good report through faith, chapter 11, verse 39. They obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Some of them received promises, and some of them didn't. See, sometimes chasing after our dream is a battle. So I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight about chasing after our dream. Like I said, we've heard some good teaching on resetting our dreams, on guarding our dreams. But don't raise your hand. But do you know what your dream is tonight? Do you have a dream? Do you have a God-given dream? Can you write it down? Can you articulate it? Could you explain it to me? Can you measure it? Would you even know if it happened? See, we're going to use different terms tonight interchangeably, and I'm not here to split theological hairs, but for the sake of conversation and time, and we could split some hairs here, but we use a lot of different terms interchangeably. Dreams, goals, purpose. What's your purpose? What's your vision? What's your calling? What's your God-given calling? What's your promise? I just want to know one thing here. Fantasy is not on the list. Because fantasy, that's just a pipe dream. That's just kind of out there someplace. That's a wish. We're not talking about wishes. We're talking about dreams and promises and goals. I'm kind of lumping them all together. And yet a lot of great men and women, they had a promise, and they never saw it come to fruition. I'd like to talk about that a little bit tonight. Number one, are you chasing the right dream? Are you chasing the right dream? See, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, there was a young man who felt that God told him he was supposed to marry that beautiful gray-haired woman sitting right there. And it wasn't me. And when our engagement was announced, he was somewhat less than pleased. Now, why is that? There might be a couple of different versions. Number one, maybe he was right. Maybe it was God's will, but he never pursued it. He never talked to her, never made an effort. So maybe it was, but he missed it. And maybe he just ate too much pizza before he went to bed one night, had a dream, and thought it was God. I would just say this, after 30 years of marriage in June, there's nothing you can say to me to convince that we missed the will of God when we got married. 30 years of married bliss, 3 wonderful kids. I'm thinking we hit the ball out of the park on that one. But he was convinced that God told him. Now, I'm convinced God's told me a few things, and some of them have panned out real good, and some of them I don't get. I've got a list of things, just wondering why. God, I don't understand why. I was manning a trade show a few years ago now. A bunch of high school students were bussed in, and we're kind of talking about the trade and stuff. And this one young man came up, and I just asked him, said, "So, you know, what are you planning on doing after high school?" His reply, "I'm going to be an astronaut." Okay, then. I don't even know what to say to that. Because, you know, if you're going to be an astronaut, there's a few things that need to go along with that. Number one, astronauts are in, like, peak physical shape. It might have just been he just ate too much pizza, period, not just before he went to bed. But also, they just don't put you in a rocket and send you up there because you look good in a flight suit. You've got to be good at something. In fact, you have to be the best at something. It's either the best of the best pilots, it's the best of the best scientists. You got to have something going on. Even the civilians, being Krista McAuliffe, was lucky. Well, I shouldn't say lucky enough. It didn't turn out to be so lucky. But she was drawn because she was a fantastic teacher. And of all the teachers that applied, she was chosen because she was the cream of the crop. So sometimes we just have a dream, but we got to put something behind it too. We got to put some effort in there. We got to do, see, it requires a true dream, a true goal requires some measure of effort on our part. We do the natural, and God does the super. And you put the two together, you got the supernatural. So how do you find your dream? Well, the first place to start is just to ask God. You ever ask God, what am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? What's your purpose? That's where you start. The good and the bad news is God answers, but sometimes he speaks, and sometimes he leads. At least that's my experience. There have been some times God has spoken to me, and years ago, I remembered I had, we'd had a single dad, and I think there was three boys who had came to the church I pastored at the time, and I baptized the entire family, and then ended up moving away, and sometime after they moved away, the boy, I believe he was 15 or 16, was swimming with friends and drowned. And because I had baptized him and the family, they had called me and asked me to help officiate the funeral. Now, I've done a lot of uncomfortable, awful things in my walk with God, and preaching a funeral for a 15-year-old kid ranks right up there. But I remember I came home, and I was wrung out. I mean, I was just emotionally wiped. And you just get all the questions, why? And I still don't know why. But I remember I sat down in the chair, and I just kind of exhaled, and God spoke to me and just said, "This is what I want you to preach at Winter Youth Convention." And I was like, that's funny, God, that's... Because I was on a youth committee at the time, and there was just that. That's just not going to happen. But I felt like God just didn't let me out the hook. It was like, this is what I want you to preach in a youth convention. Okay, I tell you what, you open the door, I'll walk through it. I'll be ready. Make a long story short. Sometime later, a couple months later, I was asked to fill in a the youth secretary resigned, and I was asked to fulfill his position until the next district conference. And then we couldn't find anybody to preach when a youth convention. There wasn't anybody to come. And Frank Zenobi was the youth president at the time, and he called me and kept calling me. We can't get anybody. The district board said, why don't you just preach it? And like, I don't want to. So finally, we're like a month out, and he calls me and he says, you know what? I don't have anybody. I'm going to preach it, and I would like for you to preach that first morning that I'm supposed to. And I hung up, and I just sat there, and I cried like a baby because I like had like 5 pages of notes already. Now I think they do that like every youth president's final year. They kind of do that, but I was the first. And it never should have happened. So sometimes God just speaks to you. And sometimes, which is usually the way it works for me, Brother Sandin, is I just got to beat my head against a wall, and I got to work at it and work at it and work at it, and God just kind of directs me over here and then over here and directs me over here until finally I'm where he needs me to be. See, Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with everything you got. See, worst case scenario, it's not what you thought it was. But you learn and you grow. And you show God your servant's heart. When we first started attending Calvary Gospel Church here, we were asked to take over Sunday school. Now, I've never felt the call to Sunday school, children's ministry. Never felt it was in my giftedness. I love kids. You give us a football and a box of Barbies, and we'll have a good time. I love kids, but teaching the kids is just, it's not my giftedness. But I did it. Why? Because God asked me to. Because there was a need. Sometimes we wait until we're not going to do anything until it's exactly what we think we ought to, what we deserve. But sometimes we just got to step out in faith and move. Understand, you can't steer a parked car. And if you're moving, even if you're moving in the wrong direction, God can turn you around. That's what happened with Saul of Tarsus. He was doing exactly the wrong thing. He was persecuting the church. But he was persecuting the right people because he was zealous for God. It was all kind of mixed up in there, but God could take that and turn that around and move it in the right direction. Sometimes it's just moving. And God's interesting that way. I mean, take Jacob. The supplanter, the liar, the trickster. I mean, not you, the guy in the Bible. He lied to his dad so he could steal his brother's inheritance. What a great guy. But God said, like, you know what? I'll pick the cheat. Because at least he's moving. I can direct him. I can change his direction and get him on the right path. See, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise it. In fact, I would say revisit it often. Otherwise, you end up chasing old dreams. Stale bread. Why do I say that? Because we change. We grow. I'm not the same man I used to be. In fact, how many of you have gone on a Man Up? You've gone on Man Up? One of the books they talk about, or the book they talk about, is Father by God by John Eldridge. You guys read that? You need to read that book. It's kind of the curriculum. They talk about it a lot. Because I guess I'm such a train wreck. I had to come home. I had to read the book, figure out what God was trying to tell me. And God used it really to help me understand me and fix me. And sometimes God uses stuff for that purpose. We'll get to that in a little bit. But in the book, Fathered by God, he talks about the five stages of manhood, if you will. And they talk about this on Man Up. Number one's a cowboy. It's adventure. You know, and every young man goes through a cowboy phase. Just a little adventure. And then we go through a warrior phase to find a cause worth fighting for. We're going to stand up for something. And then there's the lover phase. And that's to find someone worth fighting for. And then there's the king. And that stage is just leading for the sake of others. We kind of reach that when we get married and we have kids and we realize, you know, it's not all about me. There's some people that are depending upon me, and I need to lead them and lead them well, and not for my own glory, not for my own sake, but I need to do what's right for somebody else. That's what a good king does. And then there's the sage. As they say in the book, very few people actually reach that stage. We're lucky. We've got a few of them. I've had a few of them around here. Bishop, Elder Caskey, some men that have lived their life, lived it well. And if they talk, you're best shut up and listen because it's worth listening to. I would like to someday maybe become that person. But I don't know. But I would like to. But see, as we grow and we kind of mature through these stages, our goals, our dreams tend to change. I mean, I remember when my biggest dream was to own a first-generation Camaro. That was it. And I did, and let's just say it was fun. My girlfriend yelled at me the whole time. But then I left her the keys, and she put like 500 miles on it cruising around the Dells, even though you couldn't carry on a conversation in it. But it was so cool with all the boys yelling at her. You remember that? You like burned up a whole tank of my gas just cruising around with your friends. Now, I'm sure there's some list for women. I'm not sure what that is. But for men, and I have found that as I went through, I could see my own life. And I'm thankful for going on Man Up and kind of get my eyes open to this. But I can see my own life, how God's been able to use that to understand, okay, you know what? This is where I was not complete. This is where I've needed to grow up. This is where I've needed to mature a little bit. And luckily, there were some places like that. You know, I'm doing okay. I'm not a complete and total moron. Just, I don't know, 60% or whatever. I don't know. But, so in light of all this, I've been doing this for a while. I've started working on my 100 life goals. And I've kind of worked on this over the years. That's why I said we've talked about dreams, visions, goals. Some of these, I'm going to share a few of them with you. I encourage you to do something along the same. Might give you some ideas. Some of these are short term. Some of these I'll have done by the end of the year. Some of these I won't get done in this lifetime. It'll take me my entire life, however long that may be. But number one is someday I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in, great is your reward. Is there anything better than that? That's the number one thing on my list. I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Number two, I want to grow old. That woman was sitting right there. You see, sometimes life throws stuff at you that changes your perspective. Having been dead for a half an hour myself, and having the doctors tell me 3.5 years ago that I only had 3 years left with her, changes your perspective. I want to hear my wife say at the end that I gave her a great life. So someday when we're 95 and she looks over me from her bed in the nursing home to my bed next to her and says, you know, baby, we had a good ride. I'm hanging on to that. Someday I want to hear my kids. I like to be a speck in the wall, be kind of standing back in the crowd when my kids get to heaven. And I like to hear my kids say, God, thanks for allowing him to be my dad. Of all the dads, of all the families you could have picked, I'm glad that was the guy right there. I want to earn my bachelor's degree in teaching. I want to finish my bachelor's degree in teaching. And once I get that done, I kind of want to earn my master's. The weird thing about that is I find I have a nagging draw to go to Urshan and get my master's in something spiritual. I would never use that, so I don't know why, but I want to become a certified master HVAC, HVAC refrigeration instructor. I want to become nationally certified in what I'm doing. Why? Because the Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, do it with everything you've got. But this is my lot. I want to be the best I can be. I want to learn to play the guitar. I want to learn to play the bass. I want to have handwriting that's not embarrassing. You laugh. I'm actually going to do that by the end of the year. I'm working on that right now. And that is actually one of the things with in my personal studies I've learned is habit stacking. If you thanks my daughter and my new best friend, Jordan Powell, I'm actually learning to become better at writing. It's my shout out to Jordan, if you're listening, buddy. Because I've learned the power. See, I spent a good portion of my life chasing a dream that I don't know was actually my dream to chase. It actually became, sometimes the dream becomes a nightmare. And be honest with you, that's what it became, because it was kind of years of frustration. And every time I went, like, tried to pursue it, I just felt like God, it was God saying, nope. I'm like, well, and be honest with you, I'm sharing this because sometimes it's frustrating. But sometimes the benefit is in the process. See, 2 Corinthians, I have some favorite, we all have some favorite scriptures, and if we're honest, we have some least favorite scriptures. And one of my least favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I don't really like that one. You're more spiritual than me. You probably do. Like, no, I don't like being squeezed. I like the happy life. But the happy life doesn't always get us what we need. Doesn't always help us become what we need to be. So, I bought a good pen. I started writing. My wife came in the office the other day. My office, I was working late at night. She just burst into tears because I had printed off these third grade things, and I'm practicing my cursive because I forgot how to write cursive. So I'm like practicing these tracing things, and she's laughing at me because I got to figure this out. Because I realized I actually have a post-it note on my desk at work. It's actually on my cabinet of where my, that says, "I love you, Dad, Alicia." She stopped by my classroom one day. She didn't stop by to see me. She stopped by to see one of my students. But at least she left me a note. And I've cherished that. That is on my, when I moved offices, that's there. I said, you know, that kind of power, you know, texts are nice, but they're not. Texts are kind of cheap, let's be honest. A handwritten note. So that's part of my goals. One of the things that, when I was on a mountaintop out in Colorado last summer, I was just asking God, and I was crying. I said, God, I reached a point of brokenness. And I was like, God, I don't even know who I am anymore. Who am I, and what do you want from me? Because what I thought you wanted, this isn't working out, and I'm frustrated, and do I need to hold on? Do I need to go? I'm just frustrated. And God spoke to me, and he said that, that's weird, but God spoke to me in first person, and I might even say it aloud, but it was just like, I'm the friend I never had. God's called me to be a friend. And part of that is, I think, because when I needed a friend and couldn't buy one, I kind of started shutting people off. Because you know what? They can't hurt you if they're not close to you. They also can't help you very good either. And so, I'm sorry, I'm being really transparent tonight. But I feel like God wanted me to be transparent. So that's part of the process. So I want to get to the point where I can actually write good notes to people that actually mean something, that they want to hold on to. Kind of one of the visions God gave me. But it kind of transformed from there because, you know, everything, I think everything ought to draw us closer to God. So I started, my other goal is, I have one now. It's a, I spent a little money on a nice leather-bound journal with good paper in it. And with my cursive and my new fountain pens, I'm writing down scriptures. Jessica, when, I don't know if it was last time, but when Sister Rivest had preached recently, she talked about, that was one of the job descriptions for the kings, was to write down their own their portion of Scripture. Like, how have I read the Bible through so many times and never saw that? I'm like, well, that would be good for me. So not just the whole, maybe I'll do the whole thing someday, but right now just Scriptures. I also, because of my personality, I have a tendency to, when I read the Bible, do a reading plan or whatever, I got to get my two chapters done, so I got to get them done. And I just plow through it, so I got to get them done. And when I'm done, I don't learn anything. So I forced, at least at this stage of my life, it will probably change again, I forced myself, I read less for more. I may just read a half a page, maybe just one paragraph or whatever, But I'll create until I find something that speaks to me. Then I write it down in my book. My dream, maybe it's a fantasy. I'm trying to stay away from fantasy, but it's my dream that someday I will fill up a series of books, and someday, should the Lord tarry, that they will be a cherished possession to my kids and to my grandkids. Like, these are the scriptures that made a difference in Grandpa's life. Now, of course, in order for that to work, I've got to become the man I need to be. And that's all what it boils down to. I had another one. My wife and I have done some, taken our experience, and we have done some marriage counseling. And it's probably one of the things that we have done that has brought us the most joy about everything else we've done. When I was doing this a while back, I sat down and said, you know what? It's my goal to save 10 marriages. And I felt like God spoke to me and said, really, that's it? All right, God, 100. I felt like God spoke to me and said, that's it? So now I'm up to 1,000, and God's got to move something for that to happen. But let's see, that's kind of how dreams, visions get going. It's kind of what we have a passion for. You can't steer a parked car. I also, and not all of them are so spiritual, I want to hike Iceland with my wife. I want to hike across the Grand Canyon with my wife. I want to kayak down the Grand Canyon with my wife. I want to do a man up with my son-in-laws. That's an old one. I'm 2/3 done with that one, and half of that was by faith. I want to hike the Ice Age Trail from beginning to end. It's kind of going to warm me up because I want to hike the Appalachian Trail too. I want to bike across Wisconsin. I want to take a cup of water from the Mississippi and dump it in Lake Michigan. I might even notch that one off this summer. But I can threaten my wife into it. I want to kayak every state. Pastor talked about how we bought the last 2 kayaks in a state. So if that's true, then we need to put them to good use. I want to kayak in every state with my wife. So far, we've got Wisconsin and Alaska. We've got a long ways to go. I want to run a Tough Mudder with my grandkids. And I want to be a true friend. See, sometimes you need to endure the nightmare before you enjoy the dream. Let me say that again. Sometimes you need to endure the nightmare before you enjoy the dream. Think childbirth. Those of you who are parents, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, sometimes there's usually pain somewhere involved with your dream. If there's not pain or at least some struggle, that it's just a fantasy. Usually we got to put some effort into it. We do the natural, God does the super. So what's holding you back from catching your dream? Will you stand? Not sure which dream to chase? Ask God. Move. Like I said, when we first started attending church here, we were asked to take over Sunday school. Never felt the real burden for that. But if the job needed to be due. When we were doing that, they also, we used to have buses. And we needed bus drivers. And I had a CDL. So I'd come in early, drive a bus route, come in, oversee Sunday school, drive a bus route, take them back. Never felt like that was my purpose, per se. But it's a job that needs to be done. And nothing is too small to do in the kingdom of God. So sometimes just getting involved someplace, even if it's not your dream, per se, you might find out it is your dream. And you might find out it's not your dream. But God will move you in the right direction, and he will teach you along the way. Are you chasing the wrong dream? Be honest. Because I realized, as painful for it was, I was chasing, for years, I was chasing someone else's definition of success. But it was something that wasn't mine to obtain. And I was getting frustrated and hurt and banging my head against the wall and just wondering, God, what's the problem? What's the problem? Is it me? Is it me? And sometimes what's holding us back is we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Not everything is sin that holds us back. Not everything is expedient, though. To be honest with you, I'm surprising it. I think I have an addictive personality or something, because I can get caught up. I can sit down and play one game of solitaire or Sudoku and blow 2 hours. Then be mad at myself. Is that a sin? In and of itself, probably not. Although there are sins of commission, things we do that we shouldn't do, and we know what they are, but then there's also sins of omission. I should be doing this, but I'm not, because I'm playing words with friends and strangers, or Sudoku, or whatever it happens to be. Creeping on Facebook. None of which is necessarily bad, but it can become a weight. It can slow us down. And then there's a sin, but I think we know what that is. And we need to run with patience, understanding, you know what, we're not going to get it all today. And when we don't, we get up and we keep on going. We get up and we keep on going. Because sometimes living for God, we don't get all the answers. I wish every time I prayed and believed for something, it just happened. And it doesn't, and I don't know why. If I can just be honest a little bit here tonight. I And I hope this isn't overly hurtful to anyone, because I certainly don't mean it that way. But one of my biggest pains, frustrations, and I know it's not just mine, but I remember when Brother Mercus passed away. Just like, this isn't right. Remember the night before the service, my wife and I, we'd both been praying, and I've been feeling it, but my wife my wife approached me, and my wife just said, you know what? This isn't right. God's got to do something. And I was like, you know what? That's exactly what I feel. Let's bind together. Let's pray. Then when we came to the funeral, you know, and Pastor kind of waited at the end there, and I just kind of looked at my wife, and I don't know, we kind of smiled and kind of like, yeah, this is it. And then it didn't happen. That is so painful for me. And I have wondered since then, was it something in my faith? And I hope I'm not being, and I apologize if I'm being out of line, but sometimes it's things like that. That's a man and a brother that was needed. We don't always get we don't always get answers to our questions. I am hoping that through all of the pain, the frustration that we go through, God has got a plan. There's a dream. There's a vision. And we need to keep pushing. Let's pray. Shikito shokoya labakata shakada balabakito shokoya. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray. God has spoken to us. He is asking us just to lay it at His feet. Our pain, our hurt, our broken dreams. There's so great a cloud of witnesses a cloud of witnesses that did not all receive their promises. And let us run with patience. Knowing they're looking on us. They're cheering us on. I just want to